Check. All right, there we go. Yep. What is up, everybody? Sorry about that. I ought to start this thing over, but I'm not going to. Who cares? Let me see if we got sound now. Yep, there we go. So, yeah, I let my son borrow my computer this week, and evidently he adjusted my audio and my microphones to do whatever he wanted it to do, and here I am without a microphone for the first 30 or 45 seconds of my lives. He'll be hearing about it at the end of this. So, welcome, everybody. Welcome. So, let's see. A few things going on right now. We're getting ready for a couple of tournaments. One in October, one in November. The one in October is the KBF Trail Series and Challenge Series Championships. And then the one in November is the Knucklehead Championship, which we're going to do annually. Man, it was a whole lot of fun this year. It was the Knucklehead tournaments. We held 4 months in a row, and the winners of each month were part of my team. You're going to see a few videos coming out about that over the next few weeks. We've got a kind of a team party we're having on Saturday of next week, and do some get togethers. And then come November, we're going to fish Gunnersville and beat the snot out of everybody. So that should be fun. So those of you guys who don't know, I started a guide service this year. Right now I'm just guiding a lake right down the road from my house called Heath. It's a trophy managed lake that's managed by the DNR, and it's a lot of fun to fish. I love to I'm on it all the time anyway. It's open the first day of the month through the 10th day of the month, and so those are the days I guide, and you can book it through Fishing Chaos. I've got to do a little bit of adjustments and stuff on the calendars, but basically the first of the 10th are the only days I guide, so that'll be pretty fun. And I also do 1 hour coaching, online coaching sessions as well. I also offer that. So next year is going to change, though. Next year, if gas prices come down and I can find a place to stay over in Gunnersville, I'm going to be guiding Gunnersville. So it should be a lot of fun. So anyway, that's business. Water temp in Orlando is 91.3. That's all crazy. Hottest I've ever fished was 94-ish, I think. It was 101 degrees outside at the time. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. So, Jeremy Hamm, welcome, welcome. Lee Green, welcome, man. Oh, goodness. He's on, it says, I'm on a break at work. Big question, what software do you use to edit videos? I use Final Cut Pro on a MacBook. And the only reason I do that is I used to use Adobe, but Adobe went to a subscription-based, and it was costing me way more money to do that than it would to just go ahead and buy a program and use it and just update it if I need to. And so Final Cut was 400 and something bucks at the time, and I bought that one-time purchase. You know, Adobe can kiss my tail. It's a lot cheaper. Goodness. Alan Fowler, welcome from Virginia. You know, I was born in Virginia. I don't remember it. I think I was 4 months old when we moved from Virginia to Georgia, but I'm a hillbilly from Virginia if you count that technically. So, goodness. So hot, turkeys are sweating. Yeah, it's been pretty miserable. It really has. I did get, if y'all saw the short that I launched today, that's a trip I did a couple days ago with Chad Hoover, and Chad caught a 10-pounder, first one he's caught in a number of years, and I was pretty jealous at the time, but I'm proud of him. And he caught it on a frog, so, which is even cooler. And I caught a big one. I was fishing frogs too. It was fun though. We parked on the side of the road, right next to a dead thing that was wrapped up in a tarp. I didn't dare open it up. It had been dead for a long time, and it smelled horrible. It's probably a dog because it was small, but anyway. We slid the kayaks off the trailers and off the trucks and drug it through the woods about 100 yards and put in and went fishing. It was a lot of fun. So, oh, goodness. Let's see. All right, let's start questions. Chris Castile, he says, how about this August weather? Hotter than blue blazes. I agree 100%. I fish a rocky lowland reservoir and the topwater bite and the topwater bite, even at 5 a.m., is tough. Any ideas? Typically, when it gets super, super hot, I go and I find the thermocline using my electronics, or find that the depth that most of the balls of baitfish are holding at, and then I go find structure that's holding that'll hold bass. So like at that depth, and so I'm going to points and I'm checking around that depth of the on a major point. I'm going to humps and checking that depth. I'm going to drop offs and ledges, and I'm using my map and my electronics, and I'm going around and trying to find that. And then you'll find bass usually. There's several videos out there, and I don't think I have but one that gets serious about ledge fishing, but there's a lot of videos out there that explain ledge fishing, and it's a big deal. Now, what I was doing the other day is we went all the way up the other end of a creek where there's flow coming in and creating oxygen. And it was also hydrilla creating oxygen or submerged vegetation. And so the bass were in that oxygen too. And that's where Chad caught a 10 pounder. So goodness. Let's see. Big hello from Portland, Oregon. Just started listening to the Friday Night Live podcast. Love your videos, Jeans. Appreciate it, Zachary. Appreciate it. I lived in Salem for a little while, then moved down to Grants Pass. So it was way back. It was back in the early to mid 90s. But yeah, I caught a bunch of fish in a small pond up there. But I was mostly fishing for salmon and trout and stuff like that. Fishing the Willamette and the Rogue River. So let's see. Meng L says best bait for offshore fishing when the bite is tough. I love to drag a big worm, or a jig, kind of a smaller profile jig. But for some reason, I do really good on like a pink big worm, or like a tequila sunrise, or a red shad, or something like that. But the bigger the better, and I drag it super, super slow on a Texas rig, usually 3/8 to a 1/4 ounce Texas rig. So, or 3/8 to a 1/2 ounce, not 1/4 ounce. Let's see. RJM Fishtail says Knucklehead will be fun for sure. Will be a great event for many to experience. There will be many happy people. It's going to be fun. It really is going to be fun. Chad's planning something for Sunday. That's not the tournament. It's going to be more like the party on Sunday for the people who want to come and just kind of hang out, haven't qualified for the tournament, not fishing the tournament. But there's also there's a Friday tournament before the main tournament, where anybody that fished any of the tournaments during the year can come and have a chance to qualify for the last chance team. And which is pretty fun. You'll have to ask Chad about that. He knows all the details. But that's pretty cool. But I'm looking forward to the get together, the camaraderie, the party, the everything else. I got my team an Airbnb with the money I raised from the tournament entry fees. I got an Airbnb for the team, and I also picked a bunch of free stuff for them that we're going to give away this next week. So that'll be pretty fun. Mike Phelps, what if some people don't have that on their boat? What's the best idea on it and to find them without ledges? Go super shallow, go find current, or find where the wind's been blowing up against the bank. But the best thing is the bass are in the grass. If it's submerged vegetation that's green, it's creating oxygen, it's giving them a place to breathe. You know, when water gets up into the 80s, it loses its ability to hold dissolved oxygen, and the bass can't breathe. So they've got to go where the oxygen is. And so current, so way back up in the creeks where the water's pushing through and it's just tank staying stirred up, in the grass, or a combination of the two, are the best places if you don't have electronics. So, how often do you do the show? I try to do it every Friday. This last Friday, I wasn't able to do it because my kids had a church thing in Atlanta, and I went there with them. You guys that have been around me a long time know that my wife and my kids come first. And so I just, you know, and I don't always announce that I'm not having it. And so, but yeah, last week was a dud, but it was a lot of fun. We had a good time. So, how do you like the new Lowrance setup? I like it pretty good right now, Dean. I got a few bugs I got to work out of it. And I think it has more to do with the way I rigged, the transducer. And so I've got to play around with that. I got a little bit of an interference I'm trying to find. Other than that, it's doing pretty good. So of course I didn't use it the other day as shallow as I was fishing. So John Downs, hey, Gene, have you had any experience with a quantum vapor bait caster? Got one ordered off of eBay. Nope, I haven't used a quantum in 100 years. Let's see. Hey, GG, rumor is you were down in Florida recently. I was at ICAST. I'm there every July, but I usually don't stay to fish. It usually is way too hot for me. And I go to ICAST and I go home. So I typically spend most of January and into February in Florida, just going around fun fishing a few kayak tournaments here and there and that kind of stuff. So, but I may go earlier than that. I may go early January. So, hey, Gordon, how are you, brother? Jennifer Ellis, how are you? She goes, greetings from King Fluke. Greetings, King Fluke. Sorry. Are you going to do any videos on how to use lures? I'm wanting to get out of my comfort zone and learn how to fish with a frog lure. How do you fish a frog lure? I have probably a half a dozen frog videos. I've got over 870 videos on my YouTube channel. So a lot of them are about these lures, but I have a bunch, and I may even do another one this year on frog fishing because that time of the year has finally gotten here in my area. But yeah, definitely. There's tons and tons of videos on my channel to sit and watch. If I haven't done it, I'd be surprised. So I'm actually filming one this Monday and Tuesday with another YouTuber. I'm going to keep it secret for right now. But he's going to show us how to throw glide baits and swim baits, which I suck at. So I just don't have a lot of knowledge. So he's going to teach me and teach you guys on a video at the same time. So that'll be pretty cool. So. Gene, do you still like the buzzbait at first light for August? Yes, I do. Also, remind me that of that raw road trailer you like to use on them. Oh, the trailer I like to use on them. So, a couple of them I like horny toads, they're Zoom horny toads as a trailer on them this time of the year, and then a fat Albert grub are the two that I use. So, but I always take the skirts off. Don't remember last time I used a buzzbait with a skirt. So, let's see. Don't forget Chad is doing September and October to grab top five anglers from each month. See, I don't know that. He doesn't tell me that crap. Oh, two new teams for Knucklehead as well, besides the Friday fish off. So sign up, everyone. That's cool. So yeah. So if you guys are interested in the Knucklehead, just go over to Fishing Chaos, look at the details and stuff like that. Or you know, check on Chad. Chad Hoover Fishing is his channel. Check on his channel. He'll be able to explain everything there. So is ICAST worth the cost? It used to be. I go there now because it was like my 15th year going. I go there now just to see old friends and keep the relationships moving and keep them going. So I go there now, and I've been doing it for so long, and so many people have seen me, and they know I'm not going anywhere, and they know my integrity. And so I get a lot of these companies say, hey, we need to work together. Hey, we need to work together. So over the next few weeks, I've got a stack of business cards right here. I go through those business cards, and we talk, and I call people and talk business and talk sponsorships because, yes, I do this for a living, so I have to have money to put this roof over my head and to be able to do videos. So when I'm shooting full time, it's about $20,000 to $30,000 a year just to be able to film and make videos for you guys. So I got to make it somewhere. And believe me, if I could do this without sponsors, I would, but they pay my wife to let me do this. And if I wasn't able to make enough money to pay the bills, I would not be doing this. That's for sure. Sam Axe, learned a few things in the last 5 minutes. You're the best, Gene. Just got my first umbrella rig and caught my first two bass on a mag draft. That's awesome. That is awesome. That umbrella rig will be great in the wintertime when it gets really cold. That's usually when it shines the most. So, oh gosh, El Paso, Texas. Yes, I know. I had a buddy who drove through there a couple weeks ago, and he's like, it's like 115 degrees. He says, it's so hot here. Envy says, it's so hot here in El Paso, Texas, over 100 degrees for more than 50 plus days. Any advice what to throw? The bite is tough. Oh man, again, like I've been saying, find that oxygen, find the current, or find the grass, and then go really, really, really slow. Is the best I can tell you. It's just tough, very, very tough. So, not my favorite time of year to fish. Let's see. Ken Jacob is here. What's up, brother? We need another head-on fluke versus fluke Hoover, or versus Chad Hoover video. That would be fun. That'd definitely be fun. Well, the knucklehead tournament is, he's got a team and I've got a team, so that's part of it. Unfortunately, I may be fishing the same creek he is, because he does, because that's my favorite creek. So what would be the first thing you do when fishing a new deep lake that keep releasing water during full pool? Example, like the West Coast Lake, a deep lake that keep releasing water during full pool. So I'm guessing the water's going up and going down. It's fluctuating, because if it's at full pool and they bring it down, then it's not at full pool anymore. So I'm guessing that it's going up and down. When the water's rising, bass move to the shore, or they move up shallow and they start to feed shallow. And as the water starts to fall, they get spooked a little bit and they'll pull out to the next available cover or their next drop. So if the water's falling, head out a little bit further and see if they pulled out away from shallow cover. Jeremiah Hilton, hi from French Lick. Do you think it's worth fishing big top water, baby birds, mouse, injured bluegill for big bass, big baits, big fish? I usually throw those, that kind of crazy stuff, at night and do really, really good. I'm talking pitch dark night. I'll work along the bank with like a rat, like a big rat or a mouse. But other than that, I don't get into the baby bird crap and that kind of stuff. It's just, you know, it's just a different wheel on the same vehicle, for sure. Andy Leonard says supposed to be having a Newport NK180 sent to me. Would you set it up to foot steer or hand steer? Foot steer. You want to have your hands free so you can fish. You will love it. You will love it being a foot steer. So, Oh, Jason, speaking of team members on the knucklehead, what's going on? He's answering one of Zachary Brooks' questions. Let's see. What size braided line would be best for a bait caster? I got tired of digging out my line. I believe I had 20 or 30. Bump it up to 50 pound. I know it sounds like overkill pound-wise, but the diameter of it makes it to where it doesn't dig into itself and doesn't backlash as much. And so that's what I had to do. 40 pound. The way that I throw a bait caster, I backlash 40 pound like crazy. But the minute I bumped it up to 50 pound, I was golden. So, and also I'm wanting to use a versatile mono or copolymer line to be used on a medium heavy rod. I mainly use this setup for topwater lures with treble hooks and chatterbait and spinner baits. So I would go copolymer, and I always, when you're talking copolymer line, I always recommend Iserline super copolymer. You don't hear about it much because they don't market, but it's the best copolymer out there. You can buy it for pretty good price comparative to the other copolymers, and it's just really good. And then 12 to 15 pound is all you're going to need. So it's a real good, for a copolymer, it's a real good line. So, what do you think of the Native Slayer Max 10? I have never been in one, but my buddy Damon has one and loves it. It's a very wide boat. What I say, it's got a big butt, because you look at it from behind and it doesn't really look like a kayak. It looks more like, I don't know, it looks like it's just a wide squared off back. It just, which is, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But he loves it. I don't pedal because of my hip, and so I really have not been in one. That thing would destroy my hip. So I accidentally zoomed way past a whole bunch of questions, didn't I? Let's see. Oh, let's see. Do you have any bad advice for bass fishing in the Northeast? I don't think I've fished the Northeast this time of the year. Or have I? I have, but it was only for a couple of days. One of the things we did was I noticed that the fish were typically a lot shallower. The water was a little bit warmer. Or a little bit cooler than what I was used to, but I always looked for isolated cover. So I'd go be working along the bank and I'd see a clump of grass by itself or clump of rocks by itself. And I'd catch a ton of fish just throwing to that stuff that was all by itself. There wasn't anything around it or one single dock all by itself, that kind of stuff. So. We're going to find 7 or 8-aught hooks for big plastics. Look at Tackle Warehouse. Use my affiliate link down in the bottom, down in the description of my videos. I get a little bit of cut of whatever you buy there. But anyway, yes, Tackle Warehouse should have that size worm hook. I think Mustad makes one. It's called the Beast. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what it's called. But yeah, you should be able to find it there. Oh, man, that's a huge hook too. I throw big plastic baits, but the only big bait I use a big Beast hook on is a big swim bait that 13 makes. So if my reel is only 120 yards, 8-pound capacity, would it be worth using braid with a fluorocarbon leader or just fluoro? Yes, braid. I'm assuming it's a spinning reel since it's 120 at 8 pounds. And so I would definitely put 15 or 20 pound braid on there and then use a fluorocarbon leader. Yeah. And you'll get a lot less problems with it. It'll be a less line twist. You'll love it. So, and that comes from somebody where years ago I fought it when people were all putting braid on their spinning reels. I'm like, it just didn't make any sense to me. I was an all fluoro guy. And then my buddy took him through 2 or 3 years to convince me to at least try it. And then I have not changed it since. It's good stuff. Do a Temu video. I'd like to see if they're worth buying. Man, that website scares me. So I ordered some stuff for my chicken coop off of that website, and it's Chinese. And all I did was order. And like since then, I get 5 or 6 requests for sponsorships every single day from Temu, because evidently they found my email address and searched it up, and I was just a customer, and it freaked me out. I was like, wait a minute. So then I started looking at their lures, and some of their lures are direct copies of Rage Tail. I mean, like direct copies. They even call it the same thing. And the owner of Rage Tail, Steve Parks, is a very dear friend of mine. And I'm like, Nope. I don't want anything to do with them. So I'll still buy things from time to time from them that are inexpensive, but not going to do a video about them. That's for sure. Hey, Gene, when fishing topwater with a frog. Okay, I went down and saw your other comment. When fishing topwater with a frog, do you recommend using a leader on the braid? No. Go straight braid. Even when you're fishing open water, I use straight braid. I will sometimes take a Sharpie and color it black, the last 2 or 3 feet black, but that's just me. It's just me letting things get into my head. But yeah, definitely straight braid. If you're not getting bites, how often do you switch baits or spots during any given day? I don't time myself. It's mainly when I lose confidence is what it is. And so I've gotten to the point where I can quickly recognize that I've lost confidence in something, whether it be the lure or the location, and I immediately change. I don't sit there and beat a dead horse. That really has changed a lot of the way that I fish, being able to recognize it and being able to immediately say, okay, done. We got to go do something else. So, Elizabeth Z, I think my transducer is shot. Replace the transducer or upgrade to a new unit. That's up to you. That depends on your budget. It really does. But it's always nice to upgrade, but I'm the kind of person, well, I had a bow for over 15 or 20 years, a compound bow, and I just kept upgrading the components on it, and it just kept being a really good bow, and I just always used it. So I'm that kind of a cheap person, and if I don't have the money or I don't want to spend the money, I'll just upgrade the parts and pieces. So if they've got the transducer, just and you're used to the unit and you like it, stay with it. So. Colson, what are your thoughts on live scope, active target on a kayak, and do you think it is a good or bad thing for the sport? I think all advancements in technology are good, no matter what they are. I think people don't like changes, and of course, new technology is always more expensive. It'll come down in the future. I think that you can catch bigger fish, but still, I have had more fish sit there, and I've been able to look at them on my live scope and see them staring at my bait and swim away more than I've caught. So it is what it is. You still got to catch them. I've had one on my kayak for almost 2 years now, and I love it. Absolutely love it. And I try not to rely on it so much because I try not to make it change my fishing. But I enjoy being able to see what the fish are doing. I learn a lot about how they react and things they do and how they set up on cover and structure. So, let's see. Gene, did you get a look at the native Titan X ICAST thoughts about it? I really like it. It has a few ideas on it that I think were my ideas, but for a different boat that the same plant is making. But it is what it is. That's part of it. But I like it. I think it'll be a lot easier for people to rig and to use. But again, I'm not a pedal guy. So my dog has figured out that all he has to do is open the door. Hold on. Let me get him out. Yep. He's figured out all he's got to do is bump the door and open it up. So. Oh, and he usually comes in only when there's thunderstorms, but I don't think there's any thunderstorms tonight. He's just a chicken. Nope, there's none. So anyway, sorry about that. Let's see. What advice do you give a beginning fisherman? Gary, the best advice I have, and yes, it has to do with my channel and what I've done, but I have a playlist called For Beginners on my channel. You know, remember, I've been doing this for about 14 years, so I've got tons of videos, but I've pulled and tried to put them in order to where somebody who has never fished before in their life can watch the first few videos and be ready to go out and get on the water and that kind of stuff. So watch that to start with, and then get good at two or three different lures, or get confidence in two or three different lures, preferably like a worm or a Texas rig. And you'll learn that through the videos, a spinnerbait and, anything of your choice after that. But those two are probably the easiest ones, but I talk about that in all those videos. So definitely go watch that whole playlist of videos. I wonder how many thousands of people that playlist has helped get started. It is amazing. So anyway, but good luck, man. And welcome. Definitely welcome to the channel. So if you guys hadn't hit the subscribe button, make sure it's hit and the bell and all that other stuff. So that'd be cool. Mike Phelps, thanks. The reason I ask is because I have some old school jelly worms that are big. Yes, I love the old jelly worms. When they came out with them again several years ago, I was dragging them too, and they were a lot of fun. So Star Cook, Gene, what rod length would you recommend for trying to learn how to skip, especially for a short person? Also, do you have a video on skipping? I do have a video on skipping a baitcaster, and I would recommend a short rod, 6'8". I wish that 13 still made that 6'5" heavy of mine, because it was the best. It is still the best skipping rod I've ever had in my hand. But something around 6 foot six to 6'8", medium heavy, fast tip, not an extra fast, but a fast. And so, and you'll be able to skip to at least, that's a good starting rod. So let's see. Love the Tackle Talk podcast you were on. Yeah, dude, that's been a while. Wow.
Yep. I'm going to turn the fan on real quick.
Let's see. Steven Surgeon. Hey, Gene, found a 5'6" medium casting rod with a pistol grip. Any thoughts on using it to fish or decorate? I can't fish a pistol grip. Some people can, dude. I can't. I have to have the leverage behind it. So for me, I'd use it as decoration, but if it still works, use it if that's what you got. Oh, goodness. Going to try a popping frog tomorrow. This is Terrence Taylor, by the way. Going to try a popping frog tomorrow on Chattoog. So not really grass fishing, just docks and laydowns. Any pointers or color choice and line? Chattoog's pretty clear from what I remember. So just make sure that you've got, you know, use mono because it's going to have to float. No, yeah, I guess you can use braid too. It really does not, because you're going to be working it around into the shady areas. So skip it up underneath docks, fish it around the docks. Fish it early in the morning, late in the evening. You're looking for low light conditions so they don't get a great look at it. Once the sun hits the water, they'll get a really good look at your stuff. So let's see. RJM, one of these questions. He says, okay, Mr. Jensen. You have one bait. You only have one bait to ever use again. What would you tell the world it would be? A jig. Yep, a jig. I think it's one of the most versatile baits there is. And I'm like a kid at Christmas when I'm on a jig bite. There's nothing like filling a 1/2 ounce or a 3/8 ounce jig, hit the back of a fish's mouth. And before you set the hook, I just love it. And I've always loved a jig bite, mainly because it was such a challenge for me to learn. When I first decided to learn it, I literally for like 2 or 3 months left every rod at home, every bait at home, except for 3 different jigs, 3 different colors, and just spent the time dragging a jig, trying to figure it all out. And so, yeah, definitely. If I could only have one lure, it'd be a jig. Oh, and here's the next question. Do you recommend using a jig as a go-to choice when fishing from the bank, or should I stick with a Texas rig? From the bank, stick with a Texas rig. A jig is really good when you have a hard bottom and stuff like that. And typically when you're fishing the bank, if it's not a really steep bank, you have a lot of sediment and a lot of silt and a soft bottom around the bank. Like I said, unless there's a reason like current or stuff that keeps the silt from settling. So stick with a Texas rig and stick with throwing it around and into cover that's along the bank. But one thing you might want to try is lighten your weight up. Use an 1/8 ounce Texas rig or a 1/4 ounce Texas rig so it doesn't sink down in that silt and the bass can see it better. So see. Shane Garza, 2 questions. Do you use braid on spinning rod? Yes, I do. And do you only use a spinning rod as your finesse rod? I do, but I'm trying out these new bait casting finesse setups. BF, whatever. Anyway, they're bait caster. They're finesse bait casters. I'm trying them out. I haven't yet to catch a fish on one, but I haven't given like a whole lot of time. But yeah, I'm a spinning rod. I'm a light to medium light rod for finesse techniques. So most of the good ones are spinning rods. So in the braid, I always use 20 pound test floor or braided line on the main line. Have I tried the forward facing sonar minnow? I have not. I saw it at ICAST, but I haven't done any. They just barely came out. So I have not picked any up. Hey man, would you rather fish clear water 15 feet deep or stained water less than 10 feet? Water temp's 87. deep and 89 shallow. Yes, I would. No, I would love to fish stained water 12 feet or less. Because the stained water, typically the thermocline stays a little shallower. The oxygen stays a little shallower and the bass get a little bit more predictable, a little bit more bunched up. And so with clear water, they just get to see my bait too easy. And I don't like that. Vance, that's hilarious. I was reading Vance's comment. That's a good joke. I've read that one before. Love the Tackle Talk podcast episode you were on. I've learned so much from your videos. Switch from fly fishing to conventional. That's awesome. That's what I did. I was a fly fisherman growing up. My dad was a trout fisherman. He used to fish the Snake River a lot growing up. So, and all up in the Utah, Montana, Wyoming area. So, does submerged wood become bad with age? No, it does not. The only thing I don't like putting out, as in wood covers, I don't like Christmas trees because they rot so fast. They're usually only good for a year and a half, and then they're gone. So, if I'm going to spend a lot of time putting brush out and that kind of stuff, I'm going to use hardwoods. I'm going to use oak, hickory. I'm going to use cedar, or bamboo works really good too. Something that's not going to rot so fast. So, see, Michael Moon. Okay, two questions. What's your favorite way to catch fish? And what is your most effective way of catching fish? My favorite way is with a jig. My most effective way of catching a fish is a chatterbait. So, at least this year and last year, it's been that way. So let's see, for skipping and a short guy like myself, correct me if I'm wrong, but you would need a rod not too big. If you're 5 foot, I would use a 6 foot rod. Yeah, but you're right. But those are hard to find. And so when I'm trying to suggest rods for people, it usually is what I know that's out there and what I know he can find. A 6 foot rod, you can find them, but they're typically not very good quality because the companies that make the good quality rods aren't making 6 foot rods. So they're making 6'6", 6'8", 6'10s, and 7 and 7'3" and 7'6". So it sucks. It really does. Cause I have a lot of friends growing up. A lot of the old guys that I used to fish with when I was young, they judged a rod on a 6 foot heavy dock rod. And they really did. Some of the best rod builders I've ever known. One guy was a competitive distance caster, but with a bass fishing rod, he was a 6 foot two heavy. But they're just hard to find. So let's see. Do you trust any uni knots? I don't because only one I use now is an FG knot. And the reason I use an FG knot is that it doesn't have any bends in the fluorocarbon line. And in a uni knot, and a uni to uni knot, in the Alberto knot, there's bends in your fluorocarbon. And those bends are sometimes or usually exposed to the point where they get beat up by the guides during your casts. And they get weakened, and they just don't last long. And you can lose fish pretty easily once they get beat up. So I usually just use an FG knot is just a Chinese finger trap that's around the fluorocarbon. So it lasts a lot longer, like days and weeks. Frank Duchette, he says, I get lots of bites on the Strike King Rocket Shad, but most fish manage to throw the hook. I throw it on a cranking rod or a 6'6 medium that's moderate fast. Maybe try different hooks. Other advice from you. Oh, man. What is the Rocket Shad? Why am I drawing a blank? Hold on a second. Let me look that up. King Rocket Shad. Oh, that's that little spinner bait that's got the twin hooks and stuff like that. Huh. Yeah, it doesn't have a treble hook. It has those two twin hooks. I don't know, man. That medium heavy or that medium moderate should be just fine. So go to, maybe your rod's too stiff. Maybe you need to go to a medium. No, that would work. Medium moderate is what I would be throwing. I got no clue. I'd have to look and see how you got it set up. That's crazy. Those should be real easy to get good hook sets. Let's see. So my fiance is new to bass fishing, and I have been trying to teach her how to do it. Do you have any tips or tricks for her? Michael, same thing I told a guy earlier, dude. If anybody that's new to bass fishing, seriously, and this isn't just because it's mine, it's because I truly believe in that playlist that I have that's called For Beginners. Go have her watch that, or sit there and watch it with her so you can answer questions, because you are right there with her, and as she has questions, it'll really help her a lot. So it's just a playlist, and when I made the first several videos, I did them with the single mother in mind. Okay, so my sister is the one that suggested that I did this. I imagine a single mother with a couple of kids that want to go fishing. She has no clue what to do, how to do it, and she has no confidence to walk into a tackle store and ask Bubba behind the counter to go to help her. And so that's how I geared those videos, or at least the first few of them. And then I got into more, you know, more technique and that kind of stuff. So go watch those with her, and dude, she'll love them. It'll definitely help, but they're very basic. The first part of them are. So what heavy rod length do you like, for jigs and heavier Texas rigs and stuff that I'm fishing around, kind of some heavy cover? I use a 7.4 heavy is one of my favorites. 13 makes some really good 7.4 heavies. I, for frogging and for, you know, fishing slop and mats, I use a 7'11" heavy, and I have a 8-foot extra heavy. And so, but my favorite one is a 7'4". Let's see. When you fish tournaments in large, murky bodies of water, what do you look for first? First thing I look for is water clarity. And so you already mentioned that was murky water. Water clarity gives me an idea of what color lures and what type of lures I'm going to use. And then I go out and I try to find the bait fish. And when I can find the food, then I can find the bass. So that's the first thing I'm looking for, is I want to know what the bass is going to be eating, or according to the seasons, what part of the lake are they going to be on according to seasonal patterns? And then I go find the bait fish in those areas. So, what lures are good to throw on spinning reels? I throw all light stuff on spinning reels. All of my finesse techniques, anything less than a quarter of an ounce, I'll throw on a spinning reel. It's typically what I do. So, and light line, so 10 pound or less. Usually 8, 6, and 4 pound is what I use for spinning stuff. So, let's see. I fish a pond in an undisclosed location, so Lake X, in Polk County. I'm assuming that's Polk County, Florida. Seems like finesse is what works the best for that location, besides a drop shot and a Ned rig. Do you have any other recommendations? A wacky rig, Cinco. Y'all don't laugh. Stop laughing. That's always what I recommend. Yeah, a wacky rig is what I would be throwing. Really, you'll catch bigger fish that way. If you're throwing nothing but finesse, bump it up one notch and go to a wacky rig, Cinco. So, John Downs, any thoughts on the Bass Pro Pond Prowler John Boat? I've never even looked at it. If it's one of the old, like, Pond Prowlers, the old plastic ones, I loved them. Loved them. I've drugged one of those things all over the woods before kayaks came out. Have you been fishing at all much this year? I have, up until it got so stupid hot, I was miserable outside. So I chose not to. It was even difficult to get out and work on stuff. My weight and my health got really bad. And right after ICAST, I was like, I'm going back on my diet. So I've actually lost 11, almost 12 pounds in the last couple of weeks. So I'm feeling a lot better, got a lot more energy, and going to get out a little bit more. But yeah, this heat just gets to me. This is what, all this red around my eyes, that's all from the heat, from working outside and on the farm. So it beats me up. So, Jason says, cedar tree brush piles sure do hold fish, but they grab my lures and never let go. Scared to know how much money in crankbaits I've lost in old Christmas trees. Yep, exactly. When they started putting them out here at my lake, and you'll see them next Saturday, they put a bunch of brush out. I was so mad because up to that point, it was all man-made cover. It was all like the Great American Fish Tree, you know, stuff that was very difficult to get snagged in. And now they put a bunch of trees out there, which is great, but man, oh man, I get snagged up a lot. So, you ever been down to Alabama to fish the TVA system boosted? Yes, I have. I fished Gunnersville day before yesterday. When I'm working with Chad, I'm staying on the Tennessee River at Ditto Landing in Huntsville. So we go all over the place up and down that area. I moved here to Rome to be close to Tennessee Valley. I couldn't get my wife to move out of Georgia, so we moved up here close to her family, and I'm an hour and 20 minutes from Chickamauga and an hour and 20 minutes from Gunnersville. So love it. Absolutely love it. Wilson's still my favorite one, though. What knot do you like for braid to a lure? A Palomar knot. Why did my mind go blank? A Palomar knot is the only one I use from braid when I'm using braid to a lure. I just have never had it slip. I use a Palomar knot for a braid and for a drop shot, and that's it. That's it. I use a improved clinch for most everything else. So, Reggie, what's the best music to listen to while fishing? I actually like jazz. When I'm fishing, I love country music. I love jazz. I love all music. I'm from a musical family. And so I all music makes me happy, except for anyway, I won't go there. There's a lot of stuff going on, coming out right now that takes very little to no talent to make. And it drives me nuts, but mostly I love jazz. I really do when I'm fishing. So I just can't do it when I'm filming, because if that video ends up on YouTube, I get dinged. So I don't really listen to much music anymore. So what is the secret to tying an effective FG knot? Mine slip regularly. Thank you. And in advance, there's a couple of secrets. Make sure that you pull the fluorocarbon line tight every time you make a wrap. And then after you've tied that first half hitch, if you've made all your wraps, tied that first half hitch, then you tighten your knot down, and then you tie your next two, cut your fluorocarbon, tie three more half hitches, and you should be good. 25 wraps. Even though you're tightening it up and that kind of stuff, then you need to make four or five more wraps until you figure out what that magic number is. So, any tips for Yama Tanuki or Yamasinko wacky rig, colors, hooks, rods, reels, etc.? How do you set them up? I just Texas rig them weightless is what I do with the Yama Tanuki. I just take a 4 or 5 EWG, Texas rig it weightless. I love the new little one. And then I use green pumpkin or black and blue. I don't usually get too crazy with the colors. And then I put them on a bait caster, something like a 7.3 medium heavy. So that's about it. I made that video when they first came out. That's like I caught a giant. I wish I'd have weighed that fish. It may have been 10 pounds, but anyway, caught a giant on it and then explained how what I knew about it at the time. So why does the team seem like bass change what baits they like from year to year, or is it my imagination? Sometimes it is our imagination. Most of the time it is not. Like last year, I caught the majority of my fish on a chatterbait. Okay. And I was killing them on a chatterbait. I couldn't do anything wrong. And then this year I have struggled. I can get them to bite it. I can catch fish on it. Just nowhere near as many as I did the year before that. So I've been doing mostly jigs and Texas rigs this year, even in the times where a chatterbait should have worked. So a lot of things it has to do with is what has changed over the year. You know, water clarity, temperature, differences in the seasons and that kind of stuff. It just all depends. So I just don't like to find excuses as to why I'm not catching fish. I'm not one of those guys that looks for excuses. And so I usually don't pay much attention to it. I just try something until it works. So, fishing flooded waters, what would you target and throw? So if there's flooded waters, as long as that water is still rising, I'm going as close as I can to dry land as I can. So I find let me back up just a little bit. I find where the dry land is the closest to the deepest water. So if I can get my boat in there or anything else, I don't try to find these vast expanses of woods where the dry land is way, way back. That's typically not where bass are, because once that water starts falling, they want to be able to get out of that shallow water quick. And so they're not going to get way, way back into flats. They're going to be close to that deep water, but where you can get to the dry bank is the best areas to fish. And so as long as that water is still rising and before it falls, you can go along and you can flip a Texas rig or a jig into that thick cover that's along the bank, or you can throw a spinner bait or just about anything and catch them. But a minute that water starts to fall, they move out to the next available cover. So if that water's dropping, I go out and I try to find the next thing that the next line of cover or the drop or something that the fish will pull out to. So Joshua Johnson. Hey, Gene, checking in from Covington. Hope you're doing well. I'm doing good, man. Say hi to my mama down there. For sure. I went to Newton County High School, so I know a lot about Covington. You get your first bait. You get your first bait caster. Do you like to try it out? And you like to try it out once you get. Okay, you get your first bait casters. Do you like to try it out once you get new fish line on it? Yes. What lures work best on a heavy, extra fast rod? Heavy, extra fast rod. That is my flipping rod. So I'm going to put a Texas rig on it, 3/4 ounce to 1 ounce tungsten weight, and I'm flipping it into heavy cover. Notice I didn't say pitching. I said flipping. It might be a good flipping rod, but I like a fast rod. You know, it's got a little bit more flex in the tip. An extra fast rod has less flex than a fast rod. So that extra fast rod, it tends to be a little too stiff for me to get a good accurate pitch. So that's a flipping rod, and I rarely ever use them. So I have them for when I need them, but I don't use them very often. So, hey, Gene, how's your kayak tournaments going this year? When is your next tournament? I have not fished very many tournaments this year. I purposely told Chad I wasn't fishing any tournaments this year. I did fish one challenge tournament and won it, which is their KBF's month-long tournaments, just so I could qualify for the championship in October. So the tournaments I'm fishing this year are the Challenge Series Championship on Lake Guntersville, and then the Knucklehead Tournament that I'm the captain of my team, the Team Fluke Master, and that's in November. And it's also on Guntersville and Wheeler, I believe. So. Oh, Blue Diamonds, Polk County, Georgia. I have no clue, man. So it's not Florida. Christian777 says, I'm in Florida, and it seems like this heat has ruined the fishing. It probably has, dude. It just, it's going to be slow. It's going to be miserably slow. Be good. Be glad for every bite you get. But it's tough. It really is. So they usually go deep as they can go. I know a lot of the guides, like on some of the lakes in the mid part of the state, a lot of those guides will put out brush in deeper water, and then they'll fish that brush all day long. So Jennifer Ellis, hey, yes, Gene knows what he's talking about. I was out of the loop for a while and wanted to get back into fishing. Flute Master was the first YouTube channel I found and learned a lot from his videos. Appreciate it. Thanks. Thank you. So, Michael Phelps, have you ever heard of the donkey rig? It's two flukes tied on one line, and have you caught any bass off of that setup? So, I've been fishing the double fluke rig since it was called the double fluke rig before somebody made up the name donkey rig. And I've got a video on it. It's a very old one, and I love it. Absolutely love it. I caught a really good fish on that video, too. But it's, what, probably 8 years old, 9 years old now, maybe even longer than that. But, yeah, it's I love that rig. Absolutely. I got actually one of my very first videos, even longer than that, was how to rig one. So, what's the best lure for a scummy pond? Any kind of a snagless topwater, so like a frog. A hollow body frog, or even a toad will work too. So, Crusher the Great, do you have any videos talking about bass behavior and seasons? Yes, I have a lot of seasonal. They usually are how to fish certain things, but in each of those videos, I talk about behavior and how they act and seasonal patterns and stuff like that. So, I always try to include those in as many videos as I can. What's your biggest bass and where? What did you catch it on? What time of the year? So it was spring. They were spawning. I was doing a photo shoot for Hobie, believe it or not, because I had a 7-video deal with Hobie and got to be good friends with their marketing director. And back when it was Keaton, and they gave me GPS coordinates to a gate in Auburn, Alabama. So I showed up at this gate and I had to ring in, and they opened the gate up and I drove in and it closed behind me, and it was a private piece of property. And I got down there and there was Hank Parker, and Hank Parker was filming his TV show out of a kayak those 3 days we were there, or 2 days were there. I can't remember how many days we were there. And so he got in the water, they started filming, and they went to the left and around to the backside of this lake, and it wasn't a very big lake. So I was supposed to catch fish for pictures for Hobie. And so what I did is I went to the right and went along the dam, caught a few fish. And I was fishing a vial craw, a biospawn vial craw. And I threw in along this big tree trunk that had fallen in the water, and I felt the thump and watched it swim off and set the hook. And she was 10 pounds, 12 ounces. So I was in a Hobie kayak, 10 pound, 12 ounce off of a biospawn vial craw in Alabama craw color. Green pumpkin with orange. So, let's see. All right, let's get a couple more questions in. Let's see. A plastic paddle tail swim bait has become the bait I'm going to force myself to learn. Two questions. When do you like to throw them? And what's your go jig head for, say, 4-inch plastic? So Gamagatsu makes these little round head jig heads that are swim bait heads. And I really like them for 4-inch little, paddle tails. I typically am throwing paddle tails in pre-spawn, into spawn as the fish are moving in and out and stuff like that. I'll also throw them in the fall when they're hard on bait fish, when there's bass all over the place chasing bait fish, is when I'll throw a paddle tail. And a lot of times that's the only thing that'll catch them when they're schooling on bait. So have one tied on starting in, I'm not sure what part of the country you're in. I'm guessing here in the Southeast, but start mid-October, even early October, but start looking really hard in mid-October to November. You guys that deer hunt, you miss some of the best fishing of the year. And I love to deer hunt. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've shot some giants and I've shot a lot of deer in my life, but man, oh man, you miss a lot of good fishing when you're out in the woods. For sure. Let's see. All right, Ken. He says, I'm from Southeast Michigan. The lakes are always weedy. What's the best rig set up? Thanks, Ken. I love that part of the country. Matter of fact, if gas wasn't so expensive right now and the cost of living wasn't so expensive right now, I would go up and fish Michigan and Wisconsin and everywhere up there I could. And I love the weedy areas. So a chatterbait is really good in the grass, always really, really good. And what really in Michigan, I would be throwing like green pumpkin colors and crawfish colors. Another thing is like a Texas rigged crawbait. In that grass up there, you guys have a ton of crawfish. I know you do. I've seen them. They're everywhere. You just get yourself a Texas rig and hook like a rage craw onto it and start flipping the outside edges of all that grass. Concentrate on the outside edges and you should be good. So, all right, guys, I'm going to jump off of here. I really appreciate everybody who joined in. Thanks for the comments. Thank you, everybody, for joining. It was really, really fun. Sorry I didn't make it last week, but next week we'll jump in here and do it again. I don't have any plans. Look for a really cool video coming out next week that's on glide baits and that kind of stuff. It should be a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys. Well, like I always say, be sure to introduce somebody to fishing. Introduce them to my channel. Let me help you teach them how to fish. More importantly, get out on the water, go out and catch some fish, and have a great day. We'll see you.